When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Good morning and welcome to The Lineup with True Blue LA. Today is a Dodgers Rewind episode.
That means I'm here.
Yay! Hooray. Jacob Burtz is back after 2 weeks on the COVID IL. He is back for a Dodgers Rewind, and I'm here to talk about...
Dodgers Rewind while I was gone?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It felt weird.
Betrayal by name is Eric.
It would be funny if I drew your face on a pillow or something and just had it like in front of me.
You haven't done that already?
Well, I mean, that's what I cry into when I go to sleep. We usually do, like, obscure is the wrong word. Sometimes they're obscure. Like, there's some famous people, obviously. It's more like people others might not know about. It's like we haven't done, to my knowledge, Sandy Koufax Dodgers Rewind, right? Because he's pretty well covered. The legend is sort of there. And this person, I would say, is sort of in that vein in that he's very famous. He's a Hall of Famer, Leo DeRocher. However, he's in the Hall of Fame as a manager, and I want to focus on his playing days here, mostly because he played parts of 17 seasons in the majors. The All-Star Game is coming up. It's going to be next week at Dodger Stadium. And DeRocher is the first Dodger to start the All-Star game. But before we get into his All-Star exploits, I want to skip ahead to the end of his playing career, Leo DeRocher. In his final Major League game, it was April 18th, 1945, against the Phillies at Ebbets Field. Keep in mind, DeRocher was the manager at this point, and I believe this was like either his seventh or his eighth season.
Also kind of a weird... last date for a last game, don't you think?
Well, and also keep in mind that this was World War II, so like rosters were depleted.
Yeah.
And it might have been one of those like things where, hey, we're just short today, you know, yeah. Like that kind of thing. I'm activating myself. My question to you, I will give you the hint that Leo DeRocher in his playing days was a shortstop. And I'm not ruling that out for this final question. However, my question to you, what position did Leo DeRocher play in his final Major League game as a player?
Question this would be if it was just shortstop.
It would be great.
The trickster. Well, I'm going to be thinking about that while you tell me about Leo DeRocher, and I guess more specifically, his playing days.
Sure. So, as I said, he's the first Dodger to start an All-Star game. That was in 1938. At shortstop, but he was 1-for-3 in the game with a run scored in the National League's 4-1 win. But just looking at that line, if you just looked at the box score and nothing else, that doesn't tell the story. This was kind of a fantastic sort of turn of events. So the National League was up 2-0. Frank McCormick singled to open the seventh. This is from Baseball Almanac. I'm quoting here. Leo DeRocher, the next batter, was ordered to sacrifice. He followed the order as third baseman Jimmy Fox charged in. Playing the ball, Fox made the scoop and threw the ball into right field. Joe DiMaggio in right, in deference to Earl Averill, raced in, picked up the ball, and fired it home. The throw was too high and sailed over catcher Bill Dickey's head, allowing McCormick to score. Meanwhile, DeRocher never stopped running until he reached home. So that's how he scored, on his own bunt. And not only did he, so he didn't get a sacrifice, they rewarded him with a hit plus an error, like a three-base error to score.
Everything about this is amazing. I'm sorry, keep going.
It's credit. So yeah, credited with a single. So he played all nine innings at short in that game. Every starting position player for the National League played the entire game, you know. Obviously,
yeah, that combined with sacrificing at the All-Star game is just
right.
A different beast.
It totally was. But then also, if you look at we'll get into this a little later, but Drosher was not like a good hitter at all. However, he was like revered in many ways. So, but some of this stuff is fascinating, at least to me. Hopefully to others. It won't surprise you that the man who famously coined the phrase "nice guys finish last," and whose nickname was the Lip, was cantankerous even in his playing days. In his rookie year in 1928, this is with the Yankees. So he actually debuted in 1925, played two games, but then he was in the minors after that. But his like rookie year was 1928. He was up. This is from the Sabre bio of DeRocher, written by Jeffrey Marlett. Quote, DeRocher's time with the Yankees was volcanic. Protected by manager Miller Huggins, he quickly made enemies with his incessant yapping, extravagant living, and antagonizing of the Yankee stars like Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. Ruth nicknamed DeRocher the All-American Out for his diminutive batting average. Ruth also accused DeRocher of stealing his watch, a charge DeRocher denied vehemently. So imagine this like hothead rookie who can't hit, like coming in and just being a little shit for like to the biggest two stars in baseball at that point. Like it'd be like someone on the Angels just going in and antagonizing Trout and Ohtani we did not hit on our weekly The Lineup podcast, but another thing that you missed, while at least something that we could talk about, and not Dodgers related at all, except you missed the Angels Mariners brawl, which resulted in like a billion suspensions, I think. So Joe Maddon was already fired by the Angels, so Phil Nevin's the interim manager. He was suspended for that brawl for 10 games, and a number of coaches were also suspended, but they were staggered. So that I think, as we're recording this, the Angels are on like their fourth manager, like Nevin, I forget the second guy, and then Bill Hasselman, who's a catching coach with the Angels, who was Dodgers minor league manager for a number of years recently. He managed a few games, and then now it's a different person. So they just like on these. It's just what a weird season for the Angels. But anyway. Back to DeRocher. So like there's a reason he was sort of allowed to do this, because he was like thought of as a defensive wizard. He seemed to be really good, even though he couldn't hit, right? So the 1930s were just about as good of an offensive period as ever, especially in the National League. And DeRocher, he hit .246 with no power in the decade, and he topped out in batting average at .286 during that time. In his career, he hit .247. With a .299 on base and a .320 slugging. Again, this was in a highly offensive era. He had a 66 OPS plus. So, obviously, like, no one knew what OPS plus was, right? But they could see his stats were, like bad in a certain way. But he had the reputation enough as a good fielder to play for basically two decades. He was a regular for a dozen years, from 1928 to 1939. However, among players with at least 5,000 plate appearances, his 66 OPS plus is the seventh worst ever. Three players at the bottom are tied at 64 OPS plus, so he's like right near there. Oscar Melillo, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce that. He was a second baseman with the Red Sox and the Browns in the 1920s and 30s. And then someone from my era, Tim Foley, an infielder with several teams in the 70s and 80s. And then Nefi Perez, who was a shortstop in what I termed as the Jacob era in more recent times.
It's a good era.
So those were sort of the peers for Durocher, at least as a hitter. And he was, you know, probably a better fielder. Who knows? Who knows?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
But clashing with star players, never a winning strategy, especially if you're a rookie who didn't really hit. And he was literally joining Murderer's Row. So he only played 2 years with the Yankees. Miller Huggins, who the Sabre bio described as protecting Durocher, died in 1929. And after that happened, the Yankees sort of shipped him off to Cincinnati, Durocher. So then later he ended up with the Cardinals in a six-player trade in 1933. He ended up as the captain of the Gas House Gang. And the fact that that's a nickname that resonates because the Cardinals won a World Series. Durocher's cantankerous style fit better on those mid-1930s Cardinals teams. I think the Sabre bio, I don't remember where I saw this, the exact quote, but it was something like, it seemed like everybody on that Cardinals team was fighting each other. I wonder if they were like the sort of this era's equivalent of like the 86 or that era's equivalent of like the 86 Mets. But Durocher started all seven games of the World Series in 1934. He had, he was 7 for 27, 259, hit double, a triple, no walks and no strikeouts. Obviously different era, but he always put the ball in play. Never, I thought that was interesting. So he was traded to the Dodgers in October 37. Again, first All-Star game was 1933. So he made three total All-Star teams, 36 with St. Louis, 38 with the Dodgers. Those were both starting. And then 1940 with Brooklyn. The way the starters were chosen back then were weird. I think the first 2 years were fan balloting for the starters. And then it was like basically coaches and managers just decided everything. So Durocher in 1940 for the whole season played 62 games and 175 plate appearances, but he was an All-Star. He didn't play in the game. He was a reserve, but it was just kind of weird, like how they, you know, this guy's familiar. Let's bring him on board. So by his second year with the Dodgers, 1939, he was named player manager, which was, you know, obviously more popular back then. Don't really see that at all. I guess, I think, is Pete Rose still the last player manager?
I was wondering that.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't. But you just don't see it. But you look at like when he sort of came on board, Brooklyn didn't have a winning season for the previous 6 years, 1932 to 38, or maybe it's 32 to 37. And then that was under three different managers: Max Carey, Casey Stengel, and Burley Grimes. Burley Grimes, always fun to say, knuckleballer. It was during that period that the Dodgers were bad. When Giants manager Bill Terry was asked about Brooklyn, and he said, "Are they still in the league?" A phrase that sort of resonated and was one of the more famous barbs in the history of the rivalry between the Dodgers and Giants. But they were slowly starting to get good. They were massing talent in the late 1930s, and when they brought Durocher on board, it kind of all worked. So starting in 1939, his first year as manager through 1966, the Dodgers only had three losing seasons in 28 years, and one of those was during World War II, when, again, the rosters were kind of depleted. So I will say one sort of notch in Durocher's belt, even though he was kind of a hard ass, is that Pee Wee Reese came up age 21 in 1940, and to his credit, Durocher knew his days were soon over at shortstop. There was a March 1940 article in the Louisville Courier Journal. It says, Drosher said, Donnie Bush, who was a former player and manager, he told me he had looked in vain for something to criticize about Reese's play. I believe he met Bush managed Reese in Louisville. And I haven't been able to either. This is what Drosher said. He makes impossible stops and throws. He has an uncanny instinct as to where to play for the hitters. I can't teach him a thing except little things like where to play certain batters. He's better than I ever was, and I bet he'll hit 40 points better than I did when I broke in. They used to play two infields against me and no outfield. So, and he was right. Like, Pee Wee Reese was like good just about right away. Drosher only played sparingly in 1941, 18 games that year. The Dodgers went to the World Series for the first time in 21 years. He inserted himself a few times, including our aforementioned previous trivia question. So he played six games in 1943, twice in 1945. And now back to the question for you, Jacob. Yes. What position did Leo Drosher play in his final major league game?
Catcher.
Is that your real answer?
I mean, I got to guess something absurd. I don't know. How about center field?
No. It was second base. And
if it was shortstop,
that would have been hilarious, actually. I'm looking this up. So he played second. He flew out to center. And then he came out at some point. Where does it say he came out? I can't. Why can't I read? All right. Apparently, he didn't play the whole game. But, okay. So he got pinch hit for in the fifth. I must be overlooking. Oh, I know. I was looking over his potential other at bat. But nope. Flew out to center and is only at bat, and then was pinch hit for later. That was his last game. That's Leo Drosher, the baseball player. He went to the Hall of Fame as a manager, but yeah, now you know.
I do know.
You know what they say, knowing is half the battle.
Just some cleanup work. Pete Rose was the last player manager. Only one to do it in the 80s, and in the 70s you had Don Kessinger for the White Sox, Joe Torre for the Mets, and Frank Robinson for the Indians.
Nice. Well, that's a good bit of trivia, and thank you for listening, everybody. We will be back with you tomorrow.